If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you. Someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. I am Diane Allen, your host. My roles as ambassador, author, speaker, and intuitive mentor for bright and talented people are woven into each episode. I have the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire as I have been there and I understand your unique intensities, sensitivities, and challenges. Welcome. Come back to what works. How to beat behavioral addiction. Well, friends, here we are today talking about addiction, but not in the typical sense that we would think about as far as alcoholism or opiate addiction or those kinds of things. Today, I want to talk about behavioral addiction and the reason why it's so important to come back to what works. So first, I want to tell you a bit of a story about this gentleman that I know, and he is addicted behaviorally to helping other people. Now, you probably know somebody like this, or maybe you've even been like this yourself, where there is a compulsion, an obsession with helping other people, even to this person's own detriment. This person has health problems and anxiety and all kinds of situations happening in their life because they spend so much time focused on others, doing for others, creating the sense that they are indispensable to others, that their own welfare is at risk. And so that compulsion, that drive to constantly be focused outside of oneself, is a behavioral addiction. It creates behavioral addiction. So it can be helping other people. It can be screen time, scrolling on social media, or constantly looking at a screen when we all know that the blue lights are not good for us. It can be any of these things that we keep repeating that distract us from being present in our own mind and body. So I define behavioral addiction as trying to satisfy a sense of inner emptiness using any form of distraction. So this gentleman that I know is so obsessed with helping other people and being available for others that he is not available for himself. And what happens when someone points it out to him or says, hey, you know, you're not available for you, or what's going on, or any of those kinds of comments a friend might say, there is a lot of blame and shame that comes out of his mouth, a lot of excuses, blaming the world or blaming his employer or blaming the family, anything outside of himself in order to not take accountability for taking care of his own welfare. Now, historically, a lot of women have this. You know, you could take the act, you know, see like this is like codependency to an extreme, I guess. But I see the behavioral addiction really strongly. And I started thinking about this a couple weeks ago, and I noticed it even sometimes in my own world, because sometimes I just want to do something that's distracting. And every time I feel that kind of compulsion, if you will, or that urge to do something that's distracting me, if I look inside myself and I'm honest, there is an inner misalignment, an inner emptiness, an inner disconnection somehow, sometimes big, sometimes little. So I decided I would start mentioning this whole idea of behavioral addiction and helping us detox from being constantly distracted to a few of my clients. So I started bringing it up here and there and just asking people as part of their weekly homework, because everybody gets homework, to decrease their screen time, kind of like people who are on intermittent fasts, where it's easier to be on an intermittent fast than it is for trying to regulate each little meal. all the time, right? Because we can say, okay, so I'm eating between, you know, noon and 8 p.m. or noon and 6 p.m., whatever the hours are. And those are the hours. It's a binary decision. I'm on the clock or I'm on my fast. I'm in the eating window or I'm on a fast window. So what if we applied that same idea here, where I have my screen time window or my I'm obsessed with helping other people window or whatever, that's my window. And the rest of the time, I'm fasting from that. And so I mentioned it to a few of my clients, and every single one of them gave me that look. Like, you know, that look like, oh, you can't be serious, Diane. I can't. And I even watched a couple people respond where it almost looked like they were, had like inner shaking going on. Like, I can't do that. That confirmed my theory that it's an addiction. Because my definition of addiction is we can't get enough of what we don't want. So if I ask these people, independent of the homework, and say, we'll use scrolling social media as an example, is scrolling social media serving your greater life vision? No. Is it helping you take care of yourself and adding to your world? No, not really. Maybe every once in a while they see a meme that helps. And so they can say no, no, no to these things that aren't serving them. And then when I say, well, then how about putting it down just for a short period and give yourself a break? Give your brain a break and your eyes a break from the blue light. Give your brain a break so it doesn't go into decision fatigue all the time. And give yourself a break, like a fast. And in every situation, even though the person admitted that they weren't getting anything out of it, it wasn't helping their life move forward, they had a hard time saying, well, I can't do that, right? That's an addiction. It's a behavioral addiction that's actually starting to convert their neurochemistry. And these distractions are not helpful. We see the distractions in our news media today. We see the distractions in all kinds of scenarios. So I think this behavioral addiction and distractions are really something for us to look at. So that's why we're doing an episode today on this, because I see a big pattern. Now, when we stop and we go to in our fasting time, a lot of times you can tell how serious your addiction is by if you have withdrawal or not. Withdrawal is that odd feeling or that I feel different when I'm not doing it. And so many people go, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. I feel odd. It's weird for me not to be on Instagram, or I don't know what to do with myself when I'm not doing something on my screen or some other distracting behavior. And so if you make a decision to say, okay, I'm going to fast from any behavior and give yourself a break. And it's good for our neurology and our biology to get breaks. And if you do that, and then you have this weird kind of odd, different feeling when you're in that fast time, you are creating a behavioral addiction. And it can be to anything. So it's so important for us to realize that when we get caught in these behavioral addictions, it's because there's an inner part of us that feels empty or disconnected or not good enough or misaligned, and we're finding an external way, a superficial way to mask it and hide it so that we don't have to look at it. What happens is it keeps getting bigger and bigger. The more we ignore things, the bigger they get. So I want to give you some help here. I want to give you a few ideas of ways to undo behavioral addiction, slow it down, or maybe not even let it get started in your life. And it's really not that hard. It takes desire and willingness and a decision to say, I'm unwilling to be a slave to distractions. Because that's what you're making yourself. You're making yourself a slave to the distraction. And I don't know anybody who wants to be a slave to the distraction. So let's start talking a little bit here about what we can do. Now, we can all agree that distractions and behavioral addictions that we can come up with are a real thing. We all have flavors of them in different ways at different times. I even have a client of mine who is addicted to health food in the sense that if it doesn't follow her definition of health, then she can't or won't eat it, even if it is healthy. So that's a behavioral addiction, right? They're everywhere and they can hide. So let's look at some things we can do to not fall into this trap of distractions. The first thing is we learn how to take fasts. We learn how to take a break. I often will take an entire weekend or an entire day where there is no electronics going on in my world. I don't get on my computer. I'm not on my phone. I don't answer the phone. I don't answer my text messages. I don't do anything with anything electronic for whatever the period of time is. Sometimes it's a day, sometimes it's a weekend, and sometimes it's a few hours. But it's an intentional time to allow myself to go within. So back to the gentleman I spoke about in the beginning of the show, when I mentioned to him about doing this, I got all kinds of pushback and static and excuses and how everything else is making his life impossible and it's just absolutely not going to work. Not even for an hour, not even for 2 hours, because everyone needs him. Because, of course, his addiction has created this belief that everyone needs him and the world will stop spinning if he is not available to these people, because he actually started it in the very beginning by wanting to be needed so desperately that that was his definition of being loved or cared about, is how much he was needed by these people in order to feel worthy and okay. So I got a lot of pushback. When I suggested a shorter fast to a couple other people, I got a range of responses. One was, okay, I'll try it. Let's see how it goes. And then there was a little snicker a couple of minutes later with like, well, I don't know if I'm going to be doing it very good, but I'll give it a shot. And then a couple other people, and in their own way, were like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Well, maybe I can do part of it. Maybe I can do a modified version of fasting, even if it was for a few minutes or an hour. So when we have that kind of hesitation to let go of the distraction for even a short time, we are addicted to the distraction. We cannot get enough of what we don't want. So I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be disconnected from my life. I don't want to be out of touch, but yet I'm a slave to it. That's what these people are experiencing. So it's a very big deal to come back to what works and to give ourselves time free of distraction so we can live in our own skin. And in the beginning, that withdrawal might feel funny. You might not know what to do with yourself. You might even call it boredom, which it probably isn't boredom, right? You might not know exactly how to respond. And that's telling you that you've been living a life of distraction. Now, we live in a society, in a world that markets to and wants you to be distracted from what's real and true and good for you. So the more you can be a slave to the distractions, the more you can be controlled. Let me say that again. The more that you can be distracted and addicted to the distractions, the more you can be controlled. So there's parts of our society that want you to be distracted. Being distracted is an addiction. Being distracted is an addiction from who we really are. Because on some sense, we feel not worthy or not good enough or imposter syndrome or whatever language, whatever it is, there's an emptiness of some type. And the distraction puts a Band-Aid on it. Doesn't get rid of it, doesn't heal it, puts a Band-Aid on it. So during our fast, during our quiet time, during our time away from the distraction is when we can go within and breathe fully and allow ourselves to rectify or heal whatever it is that we think is empty. And then we can move forward without addictions. It doesn't mean you never have to get on, you never can get on Instagram again. It doesn't mean you're never allowed to go help someone again. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you're doing things with a compulsion and an obsession, where you like pick your phone up all the time. Every time you're in line, you're looking down at your screen. Every time you're at a stoplight, you're looking at your screen. Every time we don't have to do that. Those are compulsions. Those are signs of addiction. The second thing you can do is be in nature and check out the joyful moments, the elegant simplicity, the beauty of the natural world reminds us that we're part of the world. We're not separate from it, and reminds us that we are vital and important. So I'll go around and I'll just notice flowers. And since it's the springtime now, today I took a couple different pictures of flowers. Some people might call them weeds. I called them flowers because they were beautiful. And I'll take pictures of that and of leaves and of sunsets and sunrises and the trees with the sky behind them and the moon, all of it. Those are joyful moments. Those little glimmers of time where we connect with nature in all of her glory. There's an elegant simplicity to the natural world. All the flowers bloom right on time. No flower gets in trouble if it blooms early or later, whenever it blooms, because there's no such thing as early or late. They're always right on time. The natural world is not concerned with all the distractions that us humans are concerned with. My little puppy is not concerned with anything other than this very moment, because that's the way it is. Now, we still have lots of things going on in our life, and we're not a flower and we're not a dog, of course. And there's a balance in this, where if we're addicted and we're obsessed and we're compulsively going after the distraction thing, work, sex, money, pride, game, you know, all kinds, gaming stuff, everything. There's so many things. The key is give ourselves a break and check out nature. I had a client one time where I said, you know, go for a walk, because this person walked a lot as part of their exercise routine. And I said, and notice nature. Notice how many different shades of green that you see. Notice the flowers. Notice what kind of plants you see. Notice if there's any wildlife or animals. And it was a revolutionary idea, because what this person had been doing is going for her walk to check it off of the list of I exercised today. It was an intellectual cognitive act, not allowing her heart and her body and her essence to be connected to the world on which she was living and walking and feeling the texture of the ground and the up or the down, whether it's gravel or hard rock or just earth. What is it are you walking on? And so when we're distracted so much in our head that we're not experiencing the natural world as we move through it, we are feeding that perceived emptiness, because we're not allowing ourselves to be filled up with the beauty that's all around us. So we want to come back to what works, which is the natural world, if that makes sense. I know I'm making sense. So then, The last thing that I think is a good idea, there's lots more, but the last one for this episode is to notice when you're yearning for the distraction and disrupt it. So like if you're going to pay attention to how many times you obsessively turn your phone over or you know flip it on so you can see what's going on, then notice every time you go to reach for it and then don't. Or next time you're in line at the grocery store or you're getting gas or whatever you're doing and you would normally look at your phone, don't. Resist that yearning so that yourself, your inner self, can have a voice and can be heard and you can feel whole. The more whole you feel, the less the need for the distraction and the addiction. Then when you're answering your email or you're enjoying social media or you're watching a movie, you're not doing it as a distraction because of inner emptiness or misalignment. You're enjoying the activity because you're already whole and aligned and complete, and it's an entertainment value. The compulsion and the obsession are not there when you're not acting in addiction. So it's very important that we realize this, because I think we are all of us in a culture, in a world that wants us to be distracted. And I for a long time have run treatment centers, and one of the best things that people who are in early recovery and others try to do is catch me off guard. You know, I was the director and I could make lots of decisions. And so what they would try to do is wait for my car to pull in the parking lot and come and catch me right as I'm getting out of my car and kind of walk in with me, maybe even sometimes carrying my bags for me or something. And then, you know, there was always going to be a question that was going to come up that they wanted something from me. Some of them were not as strategic, would just ask it right away, and others would see what they could do to help me. And then I would, and then they would ask. But nonetheless, that happened a lot. And so when I noticed that when I was standing up and I was distracted, the responses I gave were not always in full alignment with what I really wanted. It was more like, just get this handled and get it out of here. So I made this new rule, and the rule was, still applies. I made this rule decades ago and it still applies. If you want my attention in these kinds of matters, then I must be sitting down and looking at you with my full attention. So if you try to ambush me in the hallway or outside my car or when I'm pouring a cup of coffee or any of those things, the answer is automatically going to be no. Even if I would otherwise say yes, because I know that there is an addiction or distraction somewhere, somehow in it all. And rather than allowing that part to rule, the answer is going to be no, unless we both have a meeting of the minds and we have rapport and I can hear everything that you want to say. And I can then ponder my role in whatever the decision would be and go from there. And it was amazing when I started doing that and explaining that to people, how many times I was not getting ambushed in the car or right outside my car and walking in down the hall and getting to my office. I mean, sometimes I hadn't even put my bags down and there were people wanting things. And that was okay, except it makes it really tricky, right? To make a good decision when you're caught off guard and when people are distracted. So in order to undo that addictive behavior, that compulsion, that yearning that I have to have it now, the lack of delayed gratification, those things get us in trouble. And I hope that you're getting from this episode that it's really important for us to come back to what works. And that is basically back to the basics, in the sense of slowing down a little bit, undoing and fasting from these things that we have compulsions and obsessions with. Give ourselves permission to have a pattern interrupt and do something different, even for a short time. I think it's very important for our individual and collective welfare to slow down and pay attention. So there you have it. Behavioral addictions are a big deal. They can really impact your life in ways that may not serve you the best. Behavioral addictions can also impact other people in a way you don't intend. So when we come back to the basics, when we come back to what works, and we stay in alignment, and we realize that these distractions fuel a sense of emptiness, then we learn how to give from the overflow, and we learn how to keep our own inner self all full of goodness and yumminess, so that when we're giving and doing, it's from our overflow. It's not from a desperate need to feel loved. So I hope this episode has served you. As always, feel free to comment, feel free to email me, feel free to make a call with me. All of those links are in the show notes so that we can continue the conversation. If you have any special requests of any topics that you would like me to cover on the Someone Gets Me podcast, please send me an email and I will be happy to look at that request and see how I can put it in the lineup for you. So remember, friends, put your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you, because you are a rock star. You are here on purpose with a mighty, mighty purpose. So go out there and remember that when you're fully aligned and fully attentive and you're paying attention to what works, the distractions cannot grab you by the throat. You'll be free then of behavioral addiction. Until the next episode of Someone Gets Me, be well.
Are you tired of searching for someone to understand you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, and talented. I share my insights and teachings, and you can connect with others in a real, authentic, safe forum. So join us today. Someone Gets Me.